Lime, duh. Yeah. Wah. Yeah, hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast. Whoa. Yeah. Hey, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast heavyweight champion, still next week, baby, a.k.a. Donski Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, from that time I went to Italy.
No more Mr. Nice Jew!
A.k.a. the modern day goof of Russia.
Erase your mind.
Hey. Gabba at you like Cleopatra, baby,
gabba, wee.
Yeah, this girl, she is mine, and What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy wrestling reactions. Oof. Now, look, before we get into it, want to crack into the cold one.
Oof. Whoa, what flavor is that?
Duh, lime. Mmm. Ah. Delicious lime LaCroix, the official unofficial beverage of Cal. Hold on, let me have another little beverage. One of my three beverages in front of me right now.
Whoa, what beverage is that?
Cold brew, duh. Okay, hold on to this.
Whoa, what beverage is that?
Arrowhead water, duh.
Wait, I've seen that beverage before. What is that?
Dime law. Hey, everybody. Oh, my God. We lost all the listeners. It's unbelievable. Well, it looks like we're out of time. Hey.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
Looks like this podcast will not be put on the
Mount Rushmore
of professional wrestling podcast. Looks like it's over. Now, look, if you can sense that I'm stalling for time and filling time, it's because... I'm trying to fill those vacant seats at Stomping Ground and Raw right here with time. No, look, listen, we got a lot to talk about today, a lot to cover. Now, before we get into all the spiciness and we ring the official cowbell, the cowbell. Wow, I said those as two words, but is cowbell, when you play cowbell, is that one word? Okay, it's one word. Good. So I was, okay, can we edit that out?
Nope. It's a compound word.
That would cost a lot. Compound word, I've heard of it. Anyway, this weekend, I mean, this is the big news on the docket here. This weekend at DCM 21, the first time a Del Close Improv Marathon, which is a 24/7, three-day improv marathon here at the UCB Theater, nonstop improv the entire time. We're going to be stopping the improv for a little bit.
Hey, you didn't ask for it, and we're giving it
right
to you, baby.
We're going
to
stop the improv for a little bit, although I actually officially got an email here saying that we must do a little bit of improv for to qualify for DCM. So we're working that out right now with the LA Athletic Commission and getting that dealt with, how we could squeeze that in because they have their rules, but we'll get that worked out. The match is still on this weekend at DCM, Saturday morning, Friday night, 1:50 a.m., which sounds like a bad time slot, but is a great time at the Del Close Marathon. We'll be hopping. People will be going right after Matt Besser, one of the UCB Four's show, in the 1:50 in the morning. I will be having a match, a Cal heavyweight title match. I'll be putting my title on the line, everything on the line, against frankly an undeserving but deserving a controversial character, the masked Cal Hunter, a man who has a claim to the throne but to the title, but his means in my mind are not justifiable. But anyway, two wrongs don't make a right, and this weekend I'll be facing Ify Nwadaway for the title. And if you've seen the video, you can check it out on my Instagram at Dan Black Attack or on the Cal official Cal Instagram at Cal Podcast. You can check it out. The video of how we exposed who he was, kind of came to me. And, but anyway, we can't let this affect the podcast too much, but this match, I want to say the big news about this match is that, listen, a lot of you are like, I don't live in Los Angeles. How am I going to see this match? How am I going to experience an event of this magnitude? And let me tell you, the way you're going to experience it is on YouTube. We're going to be posting the match. It'll be edited and should be up. The footage, regardless of outcome, will be put up on Monday for everybody to view. We'll just put that free. Okay. So, but if you want to support what we're doing, this does cost the podcast money, right? We have a limited well of resources. We are grassroots. If you like what we're doing, you want more of it. The only way to get more of it is to support us at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. And look, we give you content. We give you bonus content. We got a bonus episode right now up there, where we're talking about, my experience and Sarah Claspel's experience and Infinity's experience in our first experience in sensory deprivation tank and how that affect us. So this lifestyle episode's on the Patreon. Our other lifestyle episodes, they normally come out on Monday. We're going to be skipping this Monday, but they'll be coming back the Monday after this event. So I'm going to be doing the Patreon shout outs at the end of this episode, where if you're a patron of the show, you get your name right on the show. And great. Cool. It's funny. I'm drinking this LaCroix. And I'm thinking about how I was on another podcast and they gave out not LaCroix, sparkling water. And they opened them before we started recording and I was like, what a waste. By the way, in studio, Nosh McAdam and Aaron Faraday. I got caught up in announcing this and I'm really, my head's in the game because of this match coming up that I forgot to introduce you guys.
Okay, we're here. We're here for you.
But I was like, what a waste. What a waste of a LaCroix.
Were they
cans?
Yeah. It's like, why don't you put it on mic? Like, I'm so used to on this podcast that we open it aggressively. Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, what flavor?
Lime. Duh.
Yeah, lime. Duh, obviously. Anyway, I thought that was funny. So before we get into the week, the interesting week of wrestling, a lot to say. I actually... want to read you guys about a essentially, are these guys a sponsor of the show or they're okay, we're doing friends. A cross promotional thing with these guys called Fantasy the Show, okay, and they're giving out something cool for our listeners, which is they have a show on Twitch that simulates games of Madden, and they're giving away $250 a week, okay, and the general public, you get one entry for signing up. Okay, and you get one entry for following Fantasy the Show on Twitch, but the Jabroniacs, they're letting us, we're eligible, you can get two entries.
Wow.
Just for being part of the Cow universe, okay? So right off the bat, you have two chances to win $250 for
awesome.
Free. So this is just free money being offered to Cow listeners. This has been vetted by us, that is a legitimate thing, because these guys are fans of the podcast, and they're going to help get it out there to their Twitchverse. So this is a really just an awesome thing to help our you guys, our listeners, just possibly win and do something really fun. And it says it's totally free, and you don't even have to like football or sports because they have an auto-fill feature. That's what I'll be doing, that you select your players for you. So you check out fantasytheshow.com at Twitch and across all social media platforms and use the promo code COW1, C-O-W, and then the number one. And then, yeah, cool. These guys are helping us out, and sounds like a really fun thing to do and a way to win some free cash.
Awesome.
So, awesome. All right, anyway, cool. So,
I have one item of business.
You do?
Yes, for Jabroniacs in the Seattle area, official Cow artist Lauren Moran.
Oh, Lauren Moran.
Will be live at the Ace Comic Con June 20th, 29th, and 30th.
Is such a talented artist that she could literally
erase your mind.
Okay, one stroke of the brush.
Yes.
Wait, when she'll be there?
She'll be there this weekend, the 28th through the 30th at Ace Comic Con at the Waymoo Theater and CenturyLink Field Event Center. And tickets are available at aceuniverse.com, and she'll be giving $5 off prints and commissions, which is a big deal, for any jabroniac who hits her with a cheers up at Table 100 in Artist Alley.
That's awesome,
so
man.
So she can commission, she can draw anything to your heart's desire.
And let me just tell you, like, talking about the cow community, Lauren, the best
I love
the best
so
artist.
Much.
She's fucking amazing. Check out her art. She literally, if you don't know, if you're a new listener, she drew the Becky Blood shirt.
Yes.
The only good Becky shirt. It's not even official. It's, and it's in every WWE show. It's there.
Yeah.
It put, this shirt is part of Becky's success,
yes,
is the shirt. And she drew it, and it's awesome to have her. And it's just, the listeners of this podcast and the community, that the people keep lending their talents to help us grow this thing. It's just, it literally fuels my fire, right?
Yeah.
Like, as a man who, and man is debatable, but as a man boy who, I gotta be the definition of a man boy, right? The poster child.
We'll have to look that up.
Because I'm like, yeah, you can't say I'm just like a boy, but I'm definitely have mannish elements.
Maybe you're like a guy.
A guy. I might qualify as a guy.
I think you're
we
a
gotta
guy.
Get a spectrum for this. There's gotta be. What are you?
Well, there's
guy?
Like boy.
Guy.
Dude. Guy. Then man.
It's cool. We can make this as a shirt or something, or like a poster that's like, you use the shield.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. I love it.
Right? Because it's like the dude, like, I hate to be a dude because that means I'm Ambrose, which is Jabron. Although he's firing on all cylinders right now for him.
Well, Moxley's firing on all cylinders.
Yes, John
Ambrose.
Moxley. But yeah, it's awesome because I'm like a very, listen, man, you know, like in this business, I don't even tell you guys about all the stuff that I go through in this business, mm-hmm, except for my auditions, which get me real spiced up for this. But like, you know, there's so much, forget about failure. People in like who are in this biz, and this probably applies to wrestling business also. You see this across the board, complain about failure. Oh, I failed. It's not even about failure. It's about wasted time failing for me. It's like, right, I could be doing all, I got all these great projects. I don't even care if you want to do it. I want to just do it. I want to do it. And that way I am like an artist in that way, if you will. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretentious, but, and so anyone in this community who helps just get this shit done without the approval of the man, we'll get their attention, no problem. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You really are like the heart of the cow. So, which by the way, is the heart of a cow is something people eat, which is insane. Which is insane. All right, cool. Great. So anyway, you'll be able to watch this match, but try to come out and support it. The tickets are like $10, $12, something like that, and they support the UCB theater, which I think on paper could use all the support that it could get right now.
Okay.
So, right? That's not that's a well-documented thing, right, Anosh?
Sure.
No? Okay.
No comment from Anosh.
Okay. Anyway, so cool. Let's talk about professional wrestling, let's the world of pro wrestling, and that's not, all right, great. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's like, what, Sarah? Sarah, okay. Claspel, the special guest referee for this weekend.
I just want to say I'm reffing this weekend. I'm wearing this ref jersey from now, which is Wednesday, until Saturday. Well, I'm doing it, okay? Because I'm a committed ref. I just want to let you know I'm excited about it, and I'm going to do it right, okay? I'm not going to turn my back on anything. I'm not going to get knocked out. I'm not going to Skylar ass in it. Sorry, Skylar, but I saw that tape, and great singing voice, but man, you really turned your back on some stuff. So I want you to know that I am the boss when I'm wearing this ref jersey, okay? And I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna be honest about it. Dan, we've established this. You're one of my best friends. We've known each other for 10 plus years. But Iffy's my friend too. And even if he wasn't, even if I hated Iffy, which, how could you? He's great. He has a legit claim. And I'm going to call it honestly. Okay. Just because I'm not a mark, because I'm a casual wrestling fan and I love wrestling. I think it's super fun. I'm not watching every episode of wrestling, but I'm going to do this honestly. I'm going to do it well. And just because I'm a lady ref, which you may have never seen before in your whole life, doesn't mean I'm not going to, you know, really commit to it. Okay. So just wanted to pop in and let you know.
Wow. Okay.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care. You're a lady ref. That's a, you know, that's fine. I respect a lady.
Have you ever seen a lady ref before?
Not recently, but yeah.
Not recently? Ever?
Yeah, they have. I think in NXT there's one.
I don't think so. I think I'm the only one ever. Right. And it's rude. Honestly, there should be a bunch. So I'll see you Saturday morning.
1:50 a.m. Okay. Yes. Well, I'm glad you're taking it seriously because I don't want any special treatment. I didn't want that. But
you
yeah, to be honest, we could use a referee who doesn't get knocked out with one hit, which is no knock on Skylar Essen, but also a knock on Skylar Essen. He's very feeble. Yeah. He's a very feeble.
Though also, if someone tries to knock me out, you are getting punished because that is inappropriate.
Wow.
It's against the rules.
Whoa.
Wow.
And I've been working out as well, so I'll fucking knock you out. I won't. I'm not going to hurt anybody, okay? I just want to make sure we're following rules, okay? Watch yourselves.
Okay.
Anosh?
You're a trailblazer, Claspel. Okay.
Wow. Sarah, meow, meow, Claspy, Claspel, interrupting in studio here to lay down the gauntlet.
Those are spicy words.
Yeah.
She means biz, bro.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, it is what it is. All right. Well, there, Sarah Claspel, everybody.
Awesome.
All right. All right. Pro wrestling. Here we go. All right, so look, we're wrestling in weird zone right now. So let's talk about Raw and SmackDown, because I just have a lot of thoughts on this.
Okay.
So we know right now, I know I don't get into stats and I don't talk about ratings.
Right.
And I got accused because I mentioned the ratings on the Facebook page. And someone was like, oh, wow, Dan Black talking about the ratings. I thought he doesn't hate the ratings. And by the way, fuck you. All
right, like, I mean, like, wow. Come on, called
I'm,
out.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, I'm not allowed to. I'm using them as a standard metric, something that you would think in terms of Vince. Sometimes when he makes decisions, I'm like, he cares about the ratings, surely. And there are times where I don't care. I'm going to watch wrestling no matter what. So why would I get focused on the ratings? And
yeah,
historically in the lull times of wrestling is where a lot of the best stuff that I like happens. You know what I'm saying? And there are things about WWE right now that I do like. There are major things that keep me coming back to watch. But there are things that are really blowing my mind in it. So right now on Raw, they said they sold 3,000 tickets. So these arenas sometimes seat up to 20,000, like Staples Center they go to.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, look, now if you're in the LA market, you're going to sell more than 3,000 tickets. So
exactly.
Let's not put this out of perspective where if you think about where you go.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
That is something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
These are huge
men. Venues.
Which, by the way, these are huge venues and huge men. When I was looking at Strowman, Tug of War?
Uh-huh.
Lashley? I was like, oh, there's always room for shit like this to
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can always watch just two huge feats of strength from two jacked up, beautiful
yeah,
men.
Yeah, I think the feats of strength is a nice way to kind of interrupt the regular
90s.
Programming. I like that.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. But anyway, so I'm saying, so don't think of wherever, if you live in a major market, you live in like a New York, a Philly, right?
And you are thinking
about the arena you go to and thinking about 3,000, how small that is. I don't think that's what happened. Like, I don't remember where Raw was, but like when I went to last week Raw, very good seats. I don't know if you know, I went to Raw and SmackDown, tremendous seats. Like Raw was in the Staples Center
in LA,
and then SmackDown was in Ontario, which is like
out,
a place I've never heard of that I thought was where Anosh was born. Okay,
different Ontario.
Yeah,
I actually didn't know that existed until I moved here.
Yeah, so you're like, that's arena was tremendous, like way, what, a, like so much smaller.
Right.
So putting 3,000 in there, I think would be like, might be like close to its capacity. You know, so,
yeah.
So cool. But I'll say, there's these pictures online, and like they're tarping off like major areas of seats. And if you watch Raw, you could see like they're only shooting 25% of the arena. People are not showing up. And I imagine, I'm like, God, they got to be like losing money on renting this place if 3,000 people are showing up, or at least breaking even, you know, with all they pay. But who knows with WWE with all the, and again, this is getting into the semantics I don't care about.
You're not a logistics guy.
No, I'm not. I'm not. that's not why I'm a logistics when it comes to the storytelling. Yeah, when it comes to like the booking and the storytelling
but
and
not the
math
numbers
of that.
And the
but the math seems so strange right now. I think the only thing that I could think is that what they're doing with the booking in WWE is like they're waiting till the fall. Like is like they're really biding their time because how else could you justify? Like, they got AEW coming out. Their competition doesn't start till the fall. And the Fox deal starts in the fall, right? They have these big premiere dates.
Yeah.
How, I don't know how else you could justify putting Baron Corbin as, and that's my biggest thing. It's like, how is Baron Corbin main eventing pay-per-views? Two in a row. So literally, they're going to have Seth Rollins and his girlfriend, Becky Lynch.
Well, Seth Rollins is Becky Lynch's boyfriend. It's the other way around. Yeah. Yep. Don't forget.
The man's man.
Yeah.
Yes, the man's man. Well, let's talk about that in general, because that's something you're super
into.
I'm
willing to talk about
it. Yeah, something you're super into.
Yep.
And I'm into, but not the way they're doing it.
Right.
Like, anything that's real and authentic, acknowledge it.
Yes.
Right? Like, people know it. We live in the information age. So people, when you just do something where people are like, oh, that's true, they're really dating, and you play into that. But they should be, like, more finesse to it than this.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, I was just talking to Joe Kibler about this today. I think that, you know, they were dating, and it, like, leaked on the internet. You know, someone saw them at a coffee shop together. Someone saw them at a Taking Back Sunday concert. Yeah. And then it became a thing, like, well, we got to... People know, and you're both the champion, so we have to lean into this. And I do think that maybe it is a little cobbled together. You know, it's not, like, thought out, pre-planned, anything in advance. Like, they kind of made this move. Like, even Rollins was like, I guess it's okay to post this picture of us kissing now. So,
Yeah, because my thought is kind of like, so now that they're, like, they had one moment that I thought was really nice, where it was like, Seth was being brought to, like, an ambulance. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember when this was. This is how, you know, how out of it, like, losing track of time and moments and like stomping grounds.
Time
what
is a flat
that?
Circle.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Well, that's what I learned. I learned that from a documentary I saw called True Detective. But
time is a squared circle.
Time is a square circle. That's that's the name of a wrestler's, some wrestler's autobiography. But like. Like then she was taking him she like escorted him to the ambulance and you're like, what a nice like subtle way to be like they're dating.
Right.
As opposed to like doing it the like Maria Kanellis way where it's like they're in love.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like when they come out it should be like they should have if you want to play it real, right? Which you should, is they have a they're dating and like when they come out it's just to support each other.
Yeah.
And it's like something they don't want to do because they're trying to keep their careers professionally separate.
Right, exactly. I mean, I do like when they roll them out together. I like the moments between them in the ring, even like this week that do seem real. Yeah. Like when she like says something that like genuinely I think makes Rollins laugh or like the way they look at each other I think is very real and sweet.
Yeah.
But they are in this like, you know, scripted, sanctioned scenario that they have to act out with Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. So I like the real moments between them. I think it's touching.
Kind of like beautiful because we like follow us. Like we know a little bit about Seth Rollins like dating life.
I know quite a bit about it.
Oh yeah, you know a lot about it.
Yeah,
right?
I got all the, yep.
Is like, so he dated like some Nazi, right?
Yeah, that was a mistake.
He dated some girl.
Well, he cheated on a girlfriend with a Nazi, and then the girlfriend posted his dick pics and blew up his spot.
Right.
Then both of those relationships came to an end.
But who were these women? What do we know about
one, that? Well, the one woman was a Nazi. I don't know her deal. She had like Nazi paraphernalia that she like wore in a photo shoot.
Yeah.
But the girlfriend was just
and she
some,
like justified it. She had some weird thing that was like, oh, like
it's historical.
Yeah. Something dumb. This really,
it was bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who the girlfriend was, but then he had a long-term girlfriend recently for years named Sarah, who he broke up with on Valentine's Day. So
Yeah, I think,
and that was around the time when he and Becky were spotted
and
together.
What was her deal? What do you know about her?
She was, okay, I know that she was friends with a female jobber who was an ROH talent who jobbed out to someone on an episode of Raw and in Chicago, and they all hung out together. I think that's when they met. And then
do you
this
know
girl,
anything what she does?
She moved from, she was a bottle service girl at a bar because she's hot, and she moved from Chicago to Davenport and opened a women's boutique there. But now that she and Seth are no longer together, I don't know if she's still there and still running it.
So this kind of proves like my point, which is like, I don't know, whatever. So if this is like bad to say or whatever, but like, it's kind of amazing. Like you end up with like your intellectual equivalent.
That's
or whatever.
What I'm saying.
Like,
yeah.
Like, intellectual is not the word I wanted, but it's like
equivalent.
Respect. Like you really got to respect your partner. That's like the beauty of the world. Yeah. That is like, it's like you ultimately, it's like, this is what, you know, people, I mean, because like people ask me all the time, because like my wife's also in a comedian or whatever. Yeah. And some people, they always are like, oh, like, you know, you do the same thing. Is that like hard or whatever? I was like, I think it's, and of course it's hard. Marriage is fucking hard.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sure.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know what I'm saying. Like, oh man, I've got this figured out by any means. But I do think what's incredible, if I think about what works in my marriage, is like, the understanding of each other's of each other's lifestyle and talent,
right. Yeah.
And like and being on the same page in that way,
yeah, well,
I'm like, that I actually can't imagine living without.
Yeah,
like, if I
know.
Was a if I was doing this shit and I was married to one of my
a
my
teacher or something,
like my, yeah, like right, like the girls I used to date,
yeah,
or whatever, and I'm like, all right, going to do my podcast, and which I completely believe in, and
right,
like I completely believe in all the stuff we're doing. I think that would be the hardest thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you need that understanding. And I mean, like, look, for wrestlers,
I mean, to each his own. I'm not judging any relationship, but
no.
I'm not surprised that Seth, of all
exactly,
the, he dated all these girls, these like
normies,
right? These,
well,
I'm not judging those women either,
not at all,
but
except for the Nazi.
When you live a wrestling lifestyle, I'm not surprised that he had to someone who's as passionate about the same thing,
right?
I'm not shocked that that's where he like.
And that's how these relationships work. Like, wrestlers dating normal civilians just doesn't work because of the schedule that you're on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's so many couples who are all on the main roster now, which is really cool.
Right.
And these people just pair off and they work. And for Seth, you know, he's the best. So, and Becky's the best. So it makes sense that they're together. And I think that, you know, they are equal to one another. And if anything, she's like a little bit hotter than he is right now. So,
yeah, I mean, which is kind of crazy. She main evented the honestly, I have such a deep respect for, I say this to, I've talked about this before where I'm like, some people who like, if I was set, my wife is a successful woman, it doesn't threaten me at all.
Shouldn't.
If I was threatened, but I can't even understand that behavior at all. Like, we're like a team. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a partnership.
Again,
I talk about that.
I'm not on some high horse about mm-mm. marriage, about like, I got this figured out. But I'm like, yeah, like, it's like Seth's like, I would be, if I was Seth, I'd be like, I'm thinking about WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'd be like, isn't it unbelievable we opened and closed the show?
Yeah, it's
as
amazing.
A champion?
I think any marriage or relationship, yours, mine, theirs, you know, it has to be a partnership, and you have to feel like you're equal with your partner to be happy and to, you know, for things to really function. So I think teamwork makes the dream work, and that, you know, it's...
Yeah,
for them it makes sense, and I'm so happy for them.
But that's just something I don't personally understand when people are like, oh, that's gonna be hard to do. It's like,
why?
I guess the implication is that I'd have some kind of jealousy towards that, like, which I'm like, that's like not my bag at all.
You're
like,
jealous of your significant other?
Yeah.
They're with
even,
you.
I'm even like, I'm like, oh well, hopefully, you know, whatever. It'll be so off of wrestling.
Not that
people don't want that, especially now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
I mean, we're only working with so much here this week.
But but I like that it's real. I like that they have that
like
relationship.
That.
I can't help but feel like I want a little Mach Elizabeth in there.
Right. I think a lot of people's head goes there.
I'm not looking for like romance, but they don't feel like they're even dating when they're in the ring.
They do. think
so?
Yeah, I think they do because I'm looking for the subtleties when I watch them together. So I see like
this
the little
truly
things.
Your area of expertise here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I love Becky. I love Seth. I love romance. So the whole thing is very in my wheelhouse.
Right.
And I just love that they're a couple. And I think I can see some of the more natural moments between them, like between lines and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's cool. And
what about like Daniel Bryan and like if you think about Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, right? See, that's like that not to judge the relationship at all, but like
no judgment here.
Yeah, no judgment. But I'm saying that, like that's tricky because he's truly arguably the best technical wrestler in the world,
yeah,
right? Like
and
one of them,
not...
maybe respected as the number one. Like he's 5'8 and got the main event WrestleMania because
right.
he's so good at wrestling,
yeah.
and she is so bad at it.
She's not that great.
You know
she's
what I'm
a Bella twin, yeah.
But she's also they both respect the business so much,
right?
And
right.
She's great at the business in completely other ways. That's
yeah.
enough. I get that.
I think so too. I think you know. I think just both being in the company makes a big difference. Seth and Becky are a different case because they're both champions.
Right.
But like, you know, Charlotte and Andrade
yeah.
or Zelina and Aleister Black. Like, you know, I think only another WWE person can really understand the lifestyle and the commitment that you have to,
yeah.
you know,
but this is so amazing because like, this is when like why the comedians of wrestling podcasts, like this is where like comedy and wrestling are perfectly equivalent.
yeah.
It's like, I could not marry a comedian who is unfunny.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a real hack.
You know, like
that would be sad.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would if I was Seth Rollins, I would
yeah.
really struggle to date a wrestler. Like,
I
who
think maybe he did.
Cannot do it. Yeah,
yeah.
Because right? some of the Nazi was a wrestler, right?
I think she was
an
like
NXT
like a
wrestler.
NXT bottom tier person.
So it's
she
funny.
Got...
Do you think like? Yeah, I mean, I could date somebody who's not, like, who's, I don't know, can I date someone who's bad at what they do in general? I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not, but especially the thing that is the most important to me in the world.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Daniel Bryan and then you watch your wife just botch, like, a suicide dive, does that affect him at all?
You know what? Maybe his love for her just overshadows that.
But he could also, like, appreciate the heart, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure,
is this
Dan.
Shitty? Am I being a shitbag?
No, I don't think you're being shitty
okay.
at all. I think that what you're saying is a completely fair assessment
yeah.
of this situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't know Brie Bella as a person at all. And,
I'm sure she's a sweetheart.
I'm on record as digging a lot of what Nikki does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Total
anyway,
divas.
Okay, so look, so Seth and Becky, I like they're booking them in match together. I think
sure.
that's cool.
It's cool.
They're acknowledging it. They seem to be, I imagine they're comfortable with this.
I think that they are probably,
right.
and they have good chemistry, I think, and I think they're both very good wrestlers,
yeah.
so it's like, why not work together? And I think Lacey Evans, not so much Baron Corbin, but Lacey's a formidable opponent for this
right. But let's talk
match.
About storytelling and what we just talked about,
yeah.
okay?
Let's go.
So we talk about Seth and Becky. The interesting story there is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they allude at it, right? They've mentioned it. Other wrestlers have been like, yeah, you watch your girl, like Heyman,
right?
right? Who was like, oh, you know, sit around and wait, watch your girlfriend win or whatever, you know? You're like, oh, well, there is something amazing about, like, Seth is seemingly, I don't know him behind closed doors, but enough for kayfabe, enough
yeah.
to work in kayfabe, has an extremely comfortable, non-toxic relationship
yeah.
with his wife's success,
yeah.
right? Which is a very progressive storyline, okay?
Right.
And they're not at all telling it.
No.
Like, they're not at all telling the story that's like, but I'm not saying I know how to do it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Well, no, I know I could do it. I haven't thought about it. But but when they don't lean fully into it, it's even worse. It's
yeah.
even worse to just be like, yeah, your girlfriend. It's
right.
You know what I mean? It should be that, you know?
I know. I liked the moment where you know, Becky interrupted Seth during Raw
yeah.
and he was like, "Oh, you interrupted me." And she's like, "Oh, did I?" And he wasn't mad. He liked it because
yeah,
he's so comfortable with
that.
Her. And he, you know, I think that was a really sweet moment. And because I was thinking like, oh no, is this some like bullshit where he's going to be mad and like there's going to be like kind of competing passive aggressive? I don't know. But it was actually a very sweet moment, and I thought it was cool how they did it that
way. You know
what? Because it's almost like
that was actually really well done. But like always, Becky does not nail it. Like she does not nail anything on the microphone. Like she should come out and be like, oh, like when I interrupt you, I feel like they needed a little more of a sell there.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird because I remember there were.
The way she looked at him said a lot, I think, too. If you weren't paying close enough attention.
Which I might not have been.
Yeah. I have a laser focus on this. You've got other things on your mind right now. I think that I liked it.
Yeah, I think, but okay. So, all right, maybe they're doing a better job than I thought. We've mentioned it, but like, I don't, you know, again, this was my opinion held loosely on it. Yeah. I think, they're subtly getting to it. I think, truthfully, what's not working is more, actually, maybe, is their relationship might be the only part of it that's really working.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the real elements to me are what sells the whole deal.
I think, like, you're right. I think it's like actually the real thing's the only thing keep me interested. I'm not really interested in the Seth Rollins title run, which is booking wise.
I think Baron Corbin sucks ass, and like I know I'm being worked into like hating his guts, but I do. But like I like Lacey Evans, but I just think like, come on, like more Baron Corbin.
But that's the thing. Baron Corbin, I think, is a main problem. So this is why I mentioned ratings and got jabroned out on the Facebook page. Which, by the way, feel free to jabron me out. I'm not.
You're open to being jabroned.
I'm a member of the Facebook. Don't be fooled by the shield next to my name on Facebook.
Yeah, just because we've got those little like special badges doesn't mean we're above anything.
But because I said Baron Corbin was when he was the GM, the ratings were as bad as they'd ever been, which was like back in December, where literally they brought back Vincey Claus, where they bought back the McMahons for like a complete fake declaration that we're going to change everyone, which I at the time said was the biggest mistake, just a half and but then they bring it back Baron as like the main event guy, and like they, you know, to me that signals to me what I'm saying is that they don't care about the ratings right now. They're just buying their time for this Fox deal, right, to kick in or whatever. I don't know mathematically how it works. Like maybe they're trying to get bad quarterly reports so their quarterly report for the third quarter look amazing.
Mr. Accountant reporting for duty.
So I don't necessarily know, right? Is that like so that when the Fox deal starts, it'll shoot up. Ratings will go way high.
Who's to say?
You know the Fox initial show, which by the way, I will be there. It'll be in the Staples Center.
The first Fox show. That's cool.
I'll definitely be there. Tickets are on sale now, by the way. If you're an LA person, tickets are on sale already. I just know I'll be. I don't have tickets yet, but I know I'll be there. Show, you know, come on. That show is going to be crazy.
Yeah, let's see if they pull out all the stops.
No one's going to be talking about Stomping Ground when that starts. So they just know that. They're in this business. They do it all year round. But at the same time, why it bothers me is because, and the point I was trying to make, Jabroni, oh my God, I got to put this guy, I don't remember who it was, but I got to put you in the Jabroni zone.
Your next stop, the Jabroni zone.
It's hard to come back from that.
The point I'm making is that I don't care about ratings, right? So, but I care about the show, and I care about Seth Rollins, who I'm a big fan of. And Seth Rollins, if you have Seth Rollins in a role of like a charisma champ, it's not going to work. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
He has charisma, but his charisma is in the fact that he is a work rate champion.
Yeah.
The charisma is that he arguably is the best mix of like the best indie guy with the best WWE polish. Like he's that Venn diagram,
right? He's the Venn diagram. Like he's not your, you know, Cena guy who's
right.
You know,
he's like, he ushers in like that new era of like, he's like the young AJ Styles or whatever, that mold.
Yeah.
So if you have him wrestling guys who are like a guy like Baron Corbin, who no one gives a fuck about, they're going to care about his championship if he's wrestling wrestlers who make you see how good of a wrestler he is constantly,
right,
and present challenges that he keeps overcoming. So they put him in the like a purgatory, the Brock purgatory for a bit, where it was like, yeah, oh, Brock's going to cash in. And by the way, why are they still calling him the Beast Slayer? Like, get rid of this shit. The Beast Slayer's his nickname 4 months after WrestleMania?
I know.
What? Like, that's still the graphic. Has Lesnar's shield. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not even on his shirt, but it's still his Titantron. And they're still, it's the Beast Slayer. It's like, no.
They have to go back to the...
Well, the architect was redesign, so good.
Yeah.
Redesign, rebuild. I mean, burn it down was fine.
My sweatshirt.
Oh, on your sweatshirt right there. That, that's a spicy piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying it's like he needs to pave his own, his path. Your identity shouldn't be tied into other bigger names' identity, because like you beat them, first off, with a low blow, which I always think about. That low blow haunts
your dreams.
It, honestly, when I was in the tank, which we'll talk about in the Patreon episode, you can hear my exploits at calling it, that's hilarious, but you can hear my whole take about sensory deprivation tank, which I did. It's on the lifestyle episode, which is the Patreon episode right now. When I was in the tank, I think about like, he's called himself the Beast Slayer, but he won with a low blow. It really is a problem. Like, he should have been the guy to beat Lesnar clean.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, so
why end it that
if he
way?
Did beat Lesnar, fine.
Yeah,
but then let's move on from that. If you didn't, if like, don't call attention to the schmaziness of that win.
Right. Well, and then it's like, now he's the Beast Slayer, but Brock Lesnar is Mr. You know, Brock Party, Money in the Bank. So it's like, why keep it? Like, are you like,
I mean,
I don't really understand. Like, if Brock were to cash in and win the title back, then what are you now?
Right.
You know, like, I don't understand that either. It's a
Brock with the briefcase is cool. I just hope he cashes in at the beginning of a match, which I know he won't. But like, I feel like him. You're not gonna love seeing Brock like
capitalize.
It's not gonna feel. You know, maybe it'll be cool. I don't know. I'm just thinking about how bad they botched Braun Strowman's career already. I mean, I feel like I'm being so negative today, but I'm just saying, like, I love Seth Rollins. Like, you know, and I feel like the way to get him over is to show everybody that he can wrestle. Not to mention, it's just like every time he comes out because of this silly... they didn't mention the wild card this week, did they? I was keeping an ear open for it. This wild card, there's just two champions now. And I gotta be honest, Kofi Kingston is the champ in my mind. Like, I am like, he won clean. He has the black belt. His story is, and I gotta tell you, I love Kofi Kingston's title reign. And wrestling a guy like Dolph Ziggler, that's a great win for him. He beat Dolph Ziggler clean. He beat Daniel Bryan clean. He beat Kevin Owens clean. Kofi Kingston is undeniable champion.
Right. Yeah, he's like the pure champ. And
yeah, you know. And not to mention, we're talking about Kofi, which I was thinking about, we talk about a little bit later because I want to get this Corbin thing, but it's like, Kofi's really comfortable in that role. Like, it's almost like he waited 11 years to be there.
I know, he is doing really good, and I loved the match at Stomping Grounds.
Yeah, oh, all right, we'll get to that in a second. That's what Rollins is going. It's like, let's see Rollins just fucking kicking ass. Like, he should be pinning dudes. I'd watch a Seth Rollins just like, He has title shot. It's just like, think about this. Baron Corbin. We know Seth is going to win, and we know we're in a holding pattern. But why not have his title shot be against Bobby Roode?
Yeah, I know. Someone else.
Think about all the talent on this roster.
Right.
And these guys are asking to leave daily.
I know.
It's like, why not Bobby Roode? Bobby Roode. It helps him. Robert Roode. Have him come up, cut a couple promos. He loses to Seth Rollins. And then every time he wins, we show Seth Rollins is at the end is pointing to his opponent, being like, what a guy. This guy's awesome. Look at the match we put on. Work rate. Have every time, every match. And also, now we live in this fucking indie era. Oh, man, I'm getting fired up.
Woo. He's spicy. He's hot, folks.
We live in this indie era, right? Work rate era. Seth Rollins is getting to fights with Will Ospreay on Twitter, which we're talking about. And like, it's like, have every pay-per-view be a showcase that Seth Rollins is the best wrestler on the planet. Show everybody that he's better than Kenny Omega, right?
Right. I love that idea.
Show that, right? That should be the thing. It's like, oh, wow. Actually, all the good matches are happening to WWE. They have all the talent to put on incredible matches.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like We're not seeing it. So it's like, why are these? Why? So now look at Kofi's run. Kofi's about to wrestle Samoa Joe. Yeah. He's going to win. He's going to beat Samoa Joe clean. The Kofi Kingston run will be undeniable.
Yeah.
And it's doing it right, but it's all clouded by the fact that if you listen, if you didn't like the brand split, you liked it, you didn't, blah, 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 like whatever. The fact is, we're a couple months into now no brand split, essentially.
Yeah.
And it felt better then. Like, then at least when it was split, I knew this was the champion. I turn on SmackDown and I get into the zone of like, who's the champ here? Oh, that guy. And then we get into Survivor Series and be like, oh, right. Oh, the champs are going to meet each other.
Yeah.
That actually worked better than this.
It works. And I mean, now for me, it's confusing because I don't know. I have to think about like, who's on what show officially now.
Right.
And they aren't even using the silly wild card rule anymore. I mean, they aren't announcing it. So it's just like the lines are blurred. So it's like now we have like that graphic that showed every single champ that they have on the roster. It's like 15 people.
That disgusted me.
And it's like between all of it. And I think, aren't they doing like tag crossovers now too?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know. Why have double the belts and one roster? Like you said, when it was split before, it was a little easier to manage, you know what I mean?
And I didn't even realize it till I saw it, but like now I'm like, what's going on here? Because the bottom line here, and my thesis of this segment of the show, was people don't care right now. People love wrestling, but they don't care. And let me give you the primo example of why. On Stomping Grounds, we had the match. We actually had the match of Samoa Joe versus Ricochet, a match that a year ago you would have shit your pants to see for a WWE title, mind you, right? For an actual title. Two of the most beloved indie stars wrestling on the grandest stage of them all in front of huge tarps. The biggest tarps you've ever seen.
Tacoma.
And I'm saying, I'm saying no one even cared about this pay-per-view. They didn't care about this match. That's because of the WWE polish that is being put on this stuff, which is the U.S. title means nothing. Nothing. Shinsuke had it. Think about it. Baron Corbin had it. It's nothing. And not only that, to the point that that title means so little that when I see it, it looks stupid.
It does look kind of silly.
I would see it on John Cena. The last time it mattered was on John Cena. And that was about the man, not the title. And now we're in this place where these titles are losing meaning by the second. And it's hard. It's like, oh, whatever. You know, two sets of tag titles. There's no being being a champion has truly no consequences.
Right.
No visible change to anyone's lifestyle, anyone's cachet, anyone's booking. Except Kofi Kingston, who is like who now is. Is stronger because of it.
Yeah,
right. Like you're like, oh my god, with Kofi, it's the reason I'm into it is because you see him actually as a performer. He's more fluid on the microphone than ever.
Yeah,
he's actually fucking. I think Kofi is killing it. Like
I think he is.
He
too.
Truly earned this thing. He's throwing out the pancakes every time he cuts a promo. Like he's so much better than even the run up to WrestleMania on the microphone.
Right. I think now that he has this chance, I think he's really embracing it, and you can see it week to week. You know, even if he doesn't have a match or he's not doing anything like right that second, he's continues to excel.
Right. So it's like, let's talk about the 24/7 title for a second as an example of something they're doing correctly, right? So,
what flavor you got there?
I think your mic's off.
He's drinking wine.
He's
folks,
our tech guy. Mic's off. Oh my god! Now you're sipping into the mic. I mean.
Oh turned my it on God. To
sip. You turned that. We didn't even hear that you're drinking it. The continuity. Yeah. Anyway.
Take a sip of LaCroix, Dan.
I know. Well, I'm out.
I turn it off as a courtesy while you're water jamming about wrestling.
I'm really worked up, too. But no, what was my point? Oh, 24/7 title, right?
Yeah.
So here, okay. So it's so fun. It's. I read something and said, like, R-Truth, this is the most. Well, like he's actually their most socially profitable wrestler.
Oh,
which
that's interesting.
I completely buy that.
Yeah,
he has the most cachet on there, which I believe. But the championship, R-Truth is making that championship mean something.
Right.
Even though it's silly, You know what I mean? Even though it's silly, R-Truth is a silly wrestler.
Right.
So they're like, oh, he actually has tremendous skill when it comes to the 24/7 title. He's hard to not beat. You can beat him.
Right.
But it's hard to walk out of a show with the title, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you know he's going to win it back for you. He is the most, and that has become, it's the funny title. It's like, who's the funniest? And he's the funniest. And I think if some wrestler could be funnier, like Drake Maverick, I think probably when this started, they're like, you know, Drake Maverick actually earned his way through effort, comedic effort, to become the second in command of that.
The next contender.
You know what I'm saying? We're, so it's like, that has like actual story to it, where the other titles are just like, Baron Corbin's wrestling for it. Oh, okay. He's just like a stock bad guy.
Right. You know? I mean, like, Baron Corbin lessens the importance of the title that Seth Rollins has. You know what I mean? Like you said, like, why are we challenging Corbin? Like, why is Corbin challenging Seth for the title again? And the other, like, mid-card titles are, now that it's like one big pool and the brand split is pretty much out the window, they are truly meaningless. But when you have a clear split, it's like, okay, Intercontinental's over here. That means something. And then US is over here and I know who has it. I can't fucking remember. The only reason I love Ricochet, so now I am aware, like, oh, he's got this title. But before that, I couldn't keep track of who had it.
No.
And I don't care. And who's the Intercontinental champion right
Finn.
Now?
Oh, he was gone. Yeah. He just came back.
Yeah.
And
I saw him
Shinsuke came out. So they're going to do a Shinsuke Finn feud, which everyone's going to be cool with. But truthfully, even the Intercontinental title doesn't mean shit.
No.
So it's like,
not anymore. It doesn't.
So, but here's what I want to. So, okay. So look, I'm being super negative now.
I'm noticing a pattern.
I'm being super negative, and I'm not scared to be negative on here. I'm not like, oh, well, you're just, I'm not scared. When
these are
dark. These are dark times right now for wrestling. It affects all of us. It affects the listens of this podcast. It affects the people are not watching. They don't listen to podcasts, right? Like, we're directly symbiotic with the product. So I actually do have something vested in this, right?
That's true.
But when it comes down to WWE, and people being like, oh, it's just bad, it's bad. Watch out. And I don't have an example of this. This is not an attack on anybody. This is really, truly not. I would say watch out for just reckless negativity. Like, watch out for just maybe other podcasts or articles, just like people just being like, it's bad. Because they're lazily watching this product. And following, it's easy as somebody who gets on this microphone every week and needs to say stuff. It's got to be easy to get on the mic and just be like, "Oh man, it sucks right now."
It's really
just
easy to
fill
do that.
Time.
And
I'm watching this for good, for the good stuff. And there is a lot of good going on right now.
I agree.
If you hear some fucking podcast or something that's just like, "Oh, this Kofi run," it's just Kofi. He's got to get bigger. He's got to do this, blah blah blah. And they're not saying that jump. That was one of the best finishes to a cage match I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I lost my mind.
If you're not pointing that out, it was maybe my favorite finish to a cage match I'd ever seen. And it happened in an empty Stomping Grounds arena. Well, then that shit's useless. Like, you know, if your opinions about wrestling are based on the attendance and Stomping Grounds, what it says on like Ringside News or whatever, you know what I mean? Well, then, I mean, that's not what we do here. That's Jabron's out.
That's Jabron's.
Ziggler and Kofi did a match at a cage match at Stomping Ground where it was so much about, it was more about the door than I had seen ever in a cage match.
Yeah.
It was the most neglected way to win a cage match is the door.
It was all about the door.
Ziggler literally was hanging out the door.
A few times.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Shawn Michaels at the Rumble.
Yeah.
It was
tense.
I don't even remember that ever seeing that. It might have happened. I'm sure it's happened. You don't need to. I'm sure it happened. You don't have to hit me up about the ratings and talk shit.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying like that match, I was like, wow, what a unique cage match.
Yeah.
And it was on a pay-per-view people didn't care about. The Ricochet, Kofi diving. That actually was the moment I was like, fucking Kofi, man. This guy's the man.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times the man. He literally like cheered. He when I won the title at Calmania, he literally like went out of his way, recorded a thing saying, let's play that for the new listeners. I got it because I think I have it right here.
I'm sure you do. Save to your desktop.
I listen to it on loop every night before I go to sleep.
And while you work out.
While I work out, I just listen to this recording, truly, just over and over and over. And here it is.
superstar Kofi Kingston here, and Dan Black, the cow heavyweight champion. Kofi Kingston, the WWE heavyweight champion. I think it has a good ring to it. It's bound to happen. We got to make it happen.
Baby! The Kofi baby is like become very iconic for me.
Yeah.
I get excited to go baby with him. Like,
yeah.
I feel like he's clicking in, and I think that if you're saying Kofi's a bad champ and that's why blah blah blah, I think these are what I'm calling like lazy product reviews of
The negativity makes me fucking insane, and it's almost like.
People
would rather just, you know, it's like if you can say something if negative about a match,
right.
It's almost like it makes you cooler or whatever than pointing out the positive.
It's not true. To say this negative shit.
And like people come online, I mean, like it's the internet, so this is just how it is, but like people come online and it's like all they want to talk about is, you know, what they thought was bad. And it's like, well, why are we doing that? Why are we here? Does it make you feel good to think about the things you didn't like?
I'm not
what about the things you did
for
like?
AEW over WWE.
I'm not rooting.
I'm rooting for AEW success in a complete vacuum of WWE.
Just all the success, and I want things to be better, so everything is more enjoyable.
Like I know AEW is not going to do. Based on what I'm hearing now, who knows what happens when they start having any deal with television ratings, their plan is not to do 24/7 titles type stuff.
Right.
But I love that WWE does it.
It has a place in the WWE that it doesn't at AEW.
Drake Maverick's wedding was so fucking funny to have a staged wedding where then he literally comes on there and he's like, oh, my wife doesn't want to fuck me.
He's like all disheveled and shit.
Dude, that was great. That's fun. There's a place for that in wrestling. The truth is that, so if people are saying the Samoa Joe Ricochet match was amazing, the match was fucking dope, but people want to focus on the fact that Ricochet botched his flip on his entrance. Oh, he's not entirely, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like,
it's
well,
so
this is what
stupid.
We're doing. This is what we're doing. Like, the bottom line is this. I was watching that match being like, wow, this is fucking sick, and I just can't believe these two guys are wrestling each other.
Yeah.
And watch out for reckless, lazy content. Time-filling negativity.
Negativity, yes. Lazy negativity.
Yeah.
We don't care for that here.
Yeah.
It's not what this podcast or community is about. And it doesn't make you smart or cool or intelligent to point out things that are bad. Like, I think that that's a mistake that people make. Like, oh, I'm fucking cool because I can hate on this. It's like, no, we don't like that. You know, it's not.
It's also a losing battle. AEW is going to, if it's because you're like an AEW mark, they're going to make this equal kind of mistakes that WWE is going to make, and you're going to feel critical of that also.
Right.
So if you think this is going to be like this,
people are already
product,
doing it.
Yeah, it's like it's a false idol. Like,
it really is.
The idol is wrestling.
Yeah.
It happened. The cage spot of Kofi diving out of thing. If that was Kenny and Okada, you would have went fucking apeshit.
Right.
So just take a step back, you know what I mean? And realize that we want more wrestling. We want more quality wrestling. We want diversity of wrestling.
Yeah.
We want diversity of product. Like, that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
But that's a good thing. But I'm not going to defend Baron Corbin Lacey as the main event of Extreme Rules
on
a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules with that is not going to be extreme enough. But I'm also not going to offend a mini golf looking a shot to a throne that exploded in a way that I thought looked corny. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need, there's no, I don't got anything to gain from being dishonest. I'm here to service pro wrestling until I get a paycheck from one of these companies. And then, no. But I'm saying, like, you gotta watch out for it. Now, the bottom line, WWE has a foundational problem that is affecting them. They have a crack in their foundation right now, which is they have printed too much money, right? They are oversaturated. They have diluted the titles. They've made a lot of classic, basic, like microeconomic problems, right? Yeah. Where it's like, and they need to dial it back, and it's very hard for them to do without looking like putting their like what's it? Their, you know, your legs, your head between your legs or whatever. Yeah. Like they have to like literally go like, we gotta get rid of, we gotta phase out some titles
and like kind of reset.
Yeah.
The situation.
Yeah, but yeah, bottom line, a lot of good stuff happening in a product that you can fast forward.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, I've done it.
Is it crazy that that they put Roman Reigns over Drew McIntyre again? That it blew my fucking mind is what it did. Even they didn't want to schmoz it up or anything.
Right, right.
Roman Reigns could just beat this guy who's like working his fucking ass off.
I can't, that's one thing I cannot explain to you. No. I like don't have even an inkling of an explanation for
yeah,
that move.
I mean, listen, I mean, there are cool things happening. We got AJ Styles versus Ricochet, the main event of Raw.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, there, you know, the funny thing about wrestling
that's
is like,
fucking cool.
Is like, there are some wrestlers when I just, they like, I see them, they just do something. When I go like, man, I fucking love this guy.
Yeah.
And there's the one guy, it's not just one, but there's two right now who, when I see them, I really am like, I actually am like proud of myself. Is like, I actually am like enjoying the moment with them.
Yeah.
And it's AJ Styles.
Yes.
The second I see him, like walk out when he puts on his vest and his gear, and I'm like, this guy has it, like his whole thing figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, man, I can't wait to watch this guy like step into a ring. Right. The other guy's Daniel Bryan. Like,
oh,
just when I see Daniel Bryan come out, when his music hits, and I saw him live two times last week, very close seats. Mm-hmm. And, those two guys. I don't have it for Seth, which is I know I'm going to regret. I know that later on I'll be like, I should have appreciated Seth more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I feel that way for Seth Rollins. I don't feel that way for Daniel Bryan. But I think... Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, I do.
AJ Styles, I agree.
An acquired taste, Daniel
Bryan.
Yeah,
I agree that with that. But I think AJ Styles does deliver consistently. And... he's exciting to watch.
Right. I mean, it's all like to each their own, but like my point is that like this product that everyone's shitting on, I get to see these guys who like, you know, I remember I wasn't really watching that hard during like Ruthless Aggression, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just because I was like, you know, in that classic, you know, everyone goes through like their second puberty or whatever, like when you come back to wrestling, you know, I call it the second puberty, when you come back, when it's like that thing where you love wrestling and then you go to college and you're like, what I love is the opposite sex or whatever. For me, it was the opposite sex.
Right.
Whatever it is, whatever you like, you start exploring, experimenting sexually. You're like, oh, I'm going to get into drugs or I'm going to drink, whatever. I'm going to be like a man for the first time. And then you go through your second puberty where you go, actually, I like the stuff that I liked before.
Right.
So
well, now that
Magic
like you have a partner and you don't have to sweat that shit. Now you can go back to like the things you actually like.
I think even if you don't get a partner,
you would
still go back to it.
I think you probably would. Yeah. And I mean, like,
I think it's just a weird thing of actually finding yourself and realizing that you found yourself a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I actually think that's what it is, where you're like, oh, actually, I knew who I was before I got distracted by what I wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I think it's more like that. And so, like, accepting who you are is extremely difficult.
Right.
Like, you're like, oh, I want to be better.
Especially when you're into things that aren't universally accepted as cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I with comedy and I kept wrestling separate from my comedy self for a long time because it was like, oh, I don't want to be defined as that or whatever I was thinking, where I was like, oh, well, I just want to be comic. Like, I don't need to be. And then you're like, oh, you're like, well, what? But like, you can't deny who you have to like follow who you are. You have to like, you know, you have to be like,
embrace all sides of yourself. Yeah.
Well, you can't manufacture inspiration, in my opinion, or I can't do it for myself.
Right.
I have to chase inspiration. So like, I think it like, this sounds like, oh, so profound, but it's not really. It's like, I could like pretend I like tennis. I could be like, get like study tennis, but I don't inherently give a fuck about tennis.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, I like AJ Styles, just like him in the ring, it feels special to me.
Yeah.
It's hard. They can't manufacture it with Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
make me care about Roman Reigns.
I can't pretend to care about anything that I don't like. And I like, it's a known fact. Like, I don't like going out to bars, so I'm never going to go.
No.
And I don't pretend to want to go.
I don't like competing and it's with like music. If you it's my don't, least favorite thing.
Right, right, right.
Like my least favorite thing. I'm at bars now. And I'm just like, I'm at a fucking loud restaurant. I'm like, what yeah. is this? Like,
I know.
Why? What are we doing? And then I have no voice.
Right.
I literally leave. I
wouldn't put myself. I wouldn't even pretend like I want to go out or do that. I just wouldn't be in that scenario. So I think I understand not being able to pretend that you like Roman Reigns, regardless of who he is. And
so, we've covered really much everything. I mean, it's just it's
AJ Styles and Ricochet was a wonderful
AJ
match.
Styles versus Ricochet. I mean, that's the main event of Raw.
It was like I
wasn't watching your Ruthless Aggression because it was the second puberty thing. And now I look back and I'm like bummed that I missed all of like these a lot of Angle's best matches. I missed. Mm-hmm. I kind of missed like a bunch of the. I missed Evolution basically. Like I go back now and I you know look. I don't think it's the best thing ever done at all. But you're like, you know what? It's part of wrestling history. Like,
yeah.
And right now you will think back and go like, man, I took AJ Styles run for granted. That guy was fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
true.
If you're a true wrestling fan, not that you're not judgmental or whatever, but right. if you're actually like you're in this and you want to keep watching it. The past has a beautiful sheen on it. You know what I mean? Whether you like it or not. So you're going to go back like, and being present right now, enjoy the things that are great, including Undertaker on Raw.
Oh, it's shit. Like, yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, because it had that real element of true surprise
right.
that I don't think that we get often enough anymore.
Right.
Because things are spoiled on social media and like WWE can't. Like resist blowing their load too early
right.
on things that are exciting. So I think just to be taken by surprise by something kind of major like that was a big deal.
I kind of have a thought that even if you thought Raw was so shitty or you thought whatever, you're like, oh my god, it sucks, blah blah blah, you're telling me like when like you're just watching a random Shane repeat match and then all of a sudden it just goes like on a random Raw, that's not the coolest thing in the world.
It's fucking cool. You know what, I asked on the Facebook chat on Monday because I was curious because I enjoyed Raw and I was curious where the rest of the group was, so I asked people like if you had to rate this on a scale of 1 to 10, and I think like maybe 3 or 4 people responded, but I think it was 7.5 and 8s across the board from those few people. I think it was
pretty good.
It adds to it, you know.
That was pretty good. I think again, you know, I think there's some real fundamental foundational problems, and look, not everyone who's being negative is off base. You have like good points. There are a lot of good points. I laid out all the problems at WWE, and your problems are years and years of abuse. Like we've said, it's like a
toxic relationship.
Yeah, you said it's like when you've decided, like when you're right, you like, and so people are fed up. They're leaving. They're like, fuck it. I'm really done this time.
Yeah,
and there is truth there. But if you're just like, if you're not, there is good shit happening. But if you're ruined, if you're upset with the foundation of WWE, you're not wrong.
Your opinion is valid. And I really believe that there's nothing wrong with taking a break, because sometimes I hear what people have to say about the product.
Right.
And it is like, if you truly are like this disgusted with what you're watching, like go ahead and take some time off. Like, and then like, you'll hear about it when it's good again.
You don't have to do this. And by the way, you don't have to do a podcast. Like if you're a podcaster and you're like, gotta watch for this. It's like, I recognize that I do this because I like this. So I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
like, I'm not
going
to go into this being like, I see it as a privilege that I have an audience of people who want to hear what we got to say about this thing that we can watch. And it happens every single week. Like, having an off season would be cool, but think about that, being off season for this community, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What would we talk about? Movies?
Right. So like, let's take it the good with the bad. You don't get to fucking love your, we're talking about relationships. You don't get to only love your wife on her good days or whatever.
It's like,
if you know, look, you can make the argument that I'm taking it too far, but I think the negativity is way too far.
I think the negativity is too far. And like you said, it's lazy. And I don't think the majority of the negativity isn't very well thought out.
Well, and the swamp dominates. Like, social media wise, the swamp dominates. We got a swamp president. Like, this is like a swamp time we live in. So you have to actively fight against swampiness.
We
had this guy who had to get kicked out of the Facebook group, right? And this guy literally was writing messages being like, what did I say wrong? And the stuff he's saying was
so terrible.
It was the stuff he was saying was like, forget about the sheen of like the words. His point was, the Bellas can't wrestle. Like, that was his inherent point.
Yeah.
At the core of his point was that, is that something we need to yell about over and over
over
in the most aggressive terms possible? And the most,
that's the problem.
Is the fact that, like, the Bellas, even if his point was that, oh, the Bellas, that, like, the only reason they're around is because their men are
relationships with the male talent. Right?
Even that point, it's like, I don't, first of all, I actually don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. But also at that point, it's like, well, is that something to spend your time doing? I'm trying to talk about Kofi jumping out of the cage.
That is
Who gives a fuck about the Bellas right now?
Well, like, Kofi jumping out of the cage and, like, really having a wow moment that, like, made me, like, lose my shit on the couch is so much more important to me than, like, something as irrelevant as how the Bellas got to be famous. Like, I just don't understand the, like, do you truly care that much, or are you just, like, behind a keyboard, like, trying to
elicit? No, these people, their goal is to trying to work workers. Like, we essentially watch so much professional wrestling that you cannot work me. I know what your goal is. Your goal is to get this. You're going for the triggered meme.
I know.
Like, I'm not having a conversation about, are people too sensitive nowadays? Because you know where I stand, that I think in a lot of ways, like, we've lost our way in a lot of ways. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We're not treating people like other people and everybody, whatever. I'm not getting into that. But, like, I could tell when you were looking to get the triggered beam.
Yes.
You want people, and then you want the story from being, this is all I said.
Right.
Friends at the bar who don't have the fucking balls to tell you, because it's extremely aggressive to say to you, actually, what you did was weird.
Yeah, you're the one
who's
weird.
They're just going, yeah, man, everybody's a fucking softie now. Triggered. Just to shut you the fuck up.
I know.
Right? Like, you're like, so you can't work us. I know you want that. And then the backpedaling is the worst part. That's when you look
so,
when
you go like,
what? All I said was this. It's like, well, you said it in a way that you knew would upset people.
Right.
Especially, we have people in our group who are fans of the Bellas, which is fine.
Yeah, and, like, women.
They think the Bellas are fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know what? I think the Bellas are cool in their way. I'm not a fan of their wrestling.
Their work. I respect the Bellas. They are human beings. I have, why the Bellas have no impact on my life whatsoever.
Right.
To get all steamed and hot on the internet about it and to, like, act like a jerk. I just don't understand, like, what's in it for you to behave elicit this response from other people.
Listen to how easy language is, right? Like, it's like, oh, the linguist. Do we have a drop about me being a linguistics?
I minored in linguistics in college.
No, but I'm saying, right. here's what I'm saying. Is that, like, okay, you could say right now, easily, the Ricochet Samoa Joe match, one of the best matches. You could be like, that match was so fucking awesome. These guys, like, I got to see two of my favorite wrestlers wrestle for the first time on a WWE pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
Or you could go, and then you could say that, and then I could just go, yeah, but the U.S. title doesn't mean shit. The titles don't mean stuff. And then I've conflated ideas just to make you feel bad about something you felt positive about.
Right.
You know, that's why I always fucking, when we're in here and we talk about shows we like, right? And someone goes, oh, I really like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I didn't like something.
Yeah,
I'll say it to share it, but I don't want to do it because there's negativity is so fucking powerful. You know what I'm saying?
It is powerful. Well, and I personally, like, you know, I don't love everything that I see, but
what I'm saying is that it's so hard to enjoy things. You know what I mean? Like, how many things you watch that you don't like? How much is it? When somebody's like, I really enjoyed this thing, I get no pleasure in telling them they were wrong about
it. I know. I get no pleasure in that. And I so much, like, I try to, you know, I don't like everything, but I try to find something good in everything.
Right.
Like, I don't like whatever the movie or show is, but I enjoyed this performance.
Right.
You know, like, I try to find something positive, even in the stuff that I don't love, because I feel like the negativity really adds nothing to the conversation.
Right.
You know, and like you said, like, if you really like a movie and I say it sucked ass, you know, like, it's kind of hurtful. Like, you don't take it personal, but it's like, it kind of makes your opinion feel invalidated.
So someone would be like, if you say it sucks ass, right?
Yeah, it sucks ass.
I go, like, I really love this movie. And then you go, I thought it sucked ass.
Yeah.
You don't recognize that that's extremely, you would not like that if that was in the opposite.
So
it's like, oh man, you're so sensitive to the fact that you didn't like that I didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
Right.
You said something purposely.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Like,
And I have arguments with my friends about this shit sometimes where I'm like, no, but what you said, you said it completely dismissing.
Right.
And like,
dismissive.
Right. It's dismissive, right? So it's like people getting caught up in the nuance of language and stuff. It's like, oh, we're going to toss this. People are like, oh, you're like, oh, so should we go backwards?
Yeah.
Your argument is that we should go back to binary. Like, right. We should be like, it's just, sorry. And then you can argue that point all day and you'd be technically right, except you'd miss the fact that life is complex.
Yeah.
Feelings are complex. Human relationships are complicated. And that's like a beautiful thing.
Right.
Right? So if you're going to treat them like they're simple,
yeah,
that's barbaric.
I mean, you know? I would rather have like a full conversation about a movie or something that I liked, yeah, you didn't like. And then that's what we do on Facebook, right? Is, yeah, we have a civil conversation about different things and everyone's got their own opinion.
So this guy on the Facebook page, we're talking about the guy talking about, by the way, I have no problem because I know that sometimes I can be like very, you know, especially when there's no, you know, it's all just words. There's no tonality of your voice and you're not looking face to face with a person. I don't care. You could offend me on there, whatever. I understand that's part of the role.
I say bring it on.
But this guy was like, I mentioned ratings and then he wrote the word dumb. He's like, well, that's dumb, right? And then that immediately like subconsciously or whatever, like involuntarily, triggered. And it's like, oh, I'm so triggered. Like that word has too much meaning now. It's got too much power. Different. But I'm saying that made me immediately feel something.
I know.
Involuntarily. Where I go, oh, this guy called me dumb. And that's all you hear. Then I have to, what I call rabbiing the situation. I have to go, all right, take a breath. And I go, all right, he just meant that he wasn't calling me dumb. He was just saying he, you know, and then I look at the actual context and respond to the context.
Yeah.
Right. That level of human, that's the level of interaction. It's just, it doesn't exist in this wrestling community.
I know.
And so it's like, it's awesome that in this Facebook page and the people we have, they're looking to communicate in this way. That doesn't mean you can't have harsh opinions and talk shit about WWE. I would say this podcast episode we just had right now was really harsh on WWE. If Vince heard this, would he think we did a service to the WWE?
Probably not.
I talked shit about all his booking and I said the foundation of his company is cracked.
I mean, it's a pattern though.
Right?
Like looking back a few weeks, it's been happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not our fault. Like, you know, you're just reporting on what's happening. And unfortunately,
but watch out for the people. There's too much instigation. There's too much just like reckless instigation here that is like we're not going to fucking stand for it in the group because we're trying to create a more complex relationship with each other. And look, it's going to be an uphill battle. Like I tell people, like keeping out the swamp is going to be a fight we always have to
have. I'm ready for it. Bring it the fuck on.
But that's it. This guy, it makes me just sad that this guy thinks that like he did nothing wrong. You're like, dude,
that's disappointing.
It's like you didn't do anything where I would never where you deserve to go to fucking hell or whatever, whatever you believe in. You know, for me, that's the ground. We all know,
right. You don't deserve to get.
This is a wrestling podcast. I just remind people, this is a wrestling podcast. I felt like I wouldn't ever talk to you again, but I know you're saying stuff you wouldn't have the balls say to my face. I know
that. Well, and you know what? People try to engage with the people, the swamp creatures, and it is a losing battle and it's a fool's errand because they just keep doubling down, backpedaling, and doubling down some more. And it's like
comedians of wrestling, remember? He's like, whoa, some comics. I'm like, first off, a couple things about comedians is anyone who's actually been a comedian understands creating entertainment, and let's call it art, for lack of a better word. You're gonna make bad stuff.
Right.
That's part of the process. You're gonna fail. You know, like I don't go into almost any artistic endeavor without knowing there's a possibility it's gonna feel terrible.
Right.
And so when you're just like negative like that, it's like, oh well, that's how I know you're not. You don't understand comedians. Comedians are not scared to be they're not scared to fail.
Well, and no real comedian would mistake the phrase like sucking dick as comedy. You know what I mean? Which is one that was thrown around heavily in this person's
secondly, it's like nothing you said was funny. Not
to
the point where you weren't even trying to be funny. So now you're saying, oh, you were being funny? No, but then you're like, you weren't. This kid, most of these people, it's like, you're not even trying to be funny. Actually, what you're trying to be is a problem.
An instigator.
Your goal is to be a problem because you get no attention in other ways.
That's the thing.
And so it's like, it's such a shame, but it's fucking a testament to this great community we have. And probably if you're this deep into the podcast, you're part of the Facebook group.
No doubt.
Communities of Wrestling Facebook group. Talk about wrestling at 4 a.m.
And if you act like an asshole, you'll get the fucking boot.
Right. But you also have to go pretty far.
Yeah, you really do have to go far. I mean, like, there have been instances where people have gone too far, but I do think that there is a lot of like healthy argument that takes place on our page, and it's always civil. And you can't be a fucking dickhead like that.
Yeah,
it's unacceptable.
Anyway, interesting. We live in, this is really like, you know, we're in the true Empire Strikes Back situation of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
We, the star power in professional wrestling on a mainstream level is extremely low right now. You know, who's the biggest star on the WWE roster right now?
The biggest star I would probably say is Becky Lynch, just star power currently. Like, she's at the MTV Movie Awards, she's like out there in public. I think people who aren't wrestling fans would recognize who she is.
Right.
I don't know that she's necessarily like the greatest talent on the roster, but I think she's got a lot of star power with the absence of someone like John Cena.
I was watching the Ronda Rousey 24, and I really missed Ronda Rousey. I know some people. I mean,
I watched the end of it.
I don't think anybody's going to disagree that Ronda Rousey was like good to have on Raw.
Well, in hindsight, it's 2020, right? Like, now that we're looking back at, and especially in like a contained hour-long thing like 24, you can see her contributions and what the year.
Her contribution to women's wrestling specifically, and to the wrestling, but I'm saying like women's wrestling, she was fucking awesome. And I really hope we get her back. And I dug her the whole time.
Yeah, everybody knows. I've got a Ronda Rousey t-shirt. I'm a fan.
She did she was really great at it. She had flaws at it, but we're also missing Sasha Banks. Which is I don't know what's going to happen there, but I'm not a Bayley fan.
I just am at this point
where Bayley is just not have the chops.
She doesn't have that special something that, you know, you don't even have to be like top of the line talent to have. She just doesn't connect with me, and I think a lot of people at all. I think Sasha Banks, I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm curious because
she's in the intro, by the way. She's in the like the bumper.
Oh,
like she's in like one of those slides that you know. Not that saying they would take her out because she's still under contract, but I was like, ooh, it's funny. I'm like noticing her, like how the going away is helpful for her. I think she'll be back and she'll be the champion and have a nice run. Anyway, I think we covered pretty much everything this week. Everybody, this weekend, Saturday morning, Friday night, I will be defending my Cow Heavyweight Championship. Finally, putting Iffy in the Waterway in his place, who's been attacking me in studio here ridiculously.
And at home.
And at home. He went so far. It's crazy that anyone would even be cool with that over the fact that he had a misunderstanding, essentially, if he had won the title at a comedy show out here where they kind of, under duress, made me put it on the line.
Strong-armed
you. Not even in a wrestling match. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that if he took that so to heart, seeing he's the champion. I understand that he slighted in that, and I offered him back. He didn't take it. Don't get him mistaken. If he wants to beat me up, he's wanted to beat me up for a while. And frankly, maybe some kind of jealousy thing or some kind of thing that he doesn't like that I've been working out and we're both in the same community and that was kind of his thing. I don't know. You know, if I had to get into it, I'm not his therapist or anything. Mm-hmm. But all I know is that he deserves to be put in his place, and I'm going to do it and restore order back to Cal. He won't even be able to get up to even come and sneak attack me in here. He'll be different. He won't even have the power after I'm done with him this Saturday. And finally, we'll get back to podcasting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I apologize to all the listeners who are upset by the fact that, you know, sometimes this podcast gets cut off by sneak attacks when the lights go out.
Yeah, it's hard.
But finally, you know, and if you don't know what I'm talking about and you want to check it out, and you want to check out the match, which was going to go up on YouTube, this is officially a sanctioned match, so we got to put it up. It'll come up on YouTube probably Monday And you can check out all our social media. Aaron's going to be on the ground running the social media
at
for Cal
Podcast. I will be there at 1:50 a.m. Saturday morning live coming to you on social media.
And and so that'll all come out. Check it out. And this is the Go Home Podcast.
This is the Go Home Podcast.
Can't
wait for it to be over.
We'll see. I know what's going to happen. But everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. Go to patreon.com, the best way to support what we do, everything we do here, all these commission fees. I mean, literally, I have to commission.
LA Athletic
Commission. Then I got to pay to the UCB to rent out that space. There's always kind of fees.
A lot of overhead.
Yeah. Just donate a couple bucks a month and you get bonus episodes of this. I've sat at a desk before. I know what it's like. We got more spicy content. Listen to us talk about the float tank, which, by the way, if it sounds like you're like, oh, I don't want to hear about float tank, you want to hear about
float tank. I want to hear this, folks.
Check out patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. And I'll see you next week when I am still the Cal heavyweight champion. Cheers up. And hopefully Newman will come back. He's out of control. All right. Cheers up. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Woo!
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.